I have this game I like to play, where I ask the inanimate life's questions. Like I asked a pot how to cook food for thought, because some of these minds are full of ignorance's broth. They cannot digest consideration's culinary art. When they speak, it's like their minds made a fart, because their words reek of stupidity, and there is no airwaves available for their brainwaves. Then I spoke to a spoon. I asked it how to stir fires into lava and water into vapor. It said, "You can stir fires into lava and waters into vapor. There is no spoon." I start speaking to cutlery as I was stepping near no fires on the count of a spoon. Then I spoke to a lion, and I asked it, "Does being predictable not bother you? Or does it make it easier for you to separate us? Maybe this is why you lie between two dots as a sign of division." I asked it, "How do you draw yourself in people's minds? Because they make up far too many lines for everything, like racial lines, gender barriers, poverty curves, and welfare queues. There are far too many lines that if you combine them all, I swear you'd make the great vine." Then I noticed the clock on the wall, near the window, by the door. It started to tick, and then it talked. I mean, it spoke, and I was shocked. I slowly went to it to find out what provoked time to speak. It started to squeak, because its hands were moving round its circular frame as if it was trying to get a feel of where to aim its questions, and how was the perfect target. And then it started. What is life? And as I was about to whip up my life science definition, it said, "I failed to mention that any textbook recitations will result in this conversation's termination." Startled, I kept quiet. Reviewed my knowledge of what my life was. I looked deep into my experiences and found that there was no set collection of words to describe what was living and what was not. As if it heard my thoughts, it said, "I don't mind if you can't find the answers. These questions are not meant to be answered correctly, but to be questioned fully. Fool me into thinking that your thinking is not thickened by society's thought." I was caught between what I was taught and time's space. So my mind raced trying to escape time's space, and it tripped and fell and on imagination and saw the clock's face with no legs. It managed to chase and catch up to me, to my mind's pace, tired and panting. I wanted to know. Then an interruption to my brain's broadcasting. "Do you know the sweet fragrance of the unknown?" My arrogance finally stood up and said, "No. I know everything. I know politics and economics, physics and mathematics, happiness and all its children. I know about the birds and the bees. I witnessed life miracles and the miracles of life. See, I was frustrated because time made me feel stupid, always stumbling on life's obstacle as if I wasn't already able to walk, always biting my tongue as if I wasn't already able to talk, always scratching out lines as if I wasn't already able to write. And I was right to feel this way. Nothing will belittle me or sway my beliefs in me. I won't sway. I believe in me." Then it said, "What about your insecurities?" Time had done it again. Finding holes in my argument and ripping them open like fragile garments, my brain became dormant. I was defeated. And silence took over. Then under the shade of quiet, it said, "It's okay not to know. The known is far better than any unknown fruit." This confusion was burning, so I went back to the spoon to show me how to stir fires into lava and water into vapor.